Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
Judy Nathans, and we got here, even though things are a little
hectic here.
You gotta find a keyboard.
You know? Yeah. Oh yeah. So today's July 2nd.
Yes. 2019. It's a holiday week. It's hot out there. And right. It's gonna be hot in the city council chambers, I think, tonight.
Yeah, actually, right. Starting right. Half hour? Starting right now. Actually.
Right now, that's right.
I believe we are having the ordinance committee meeting on the so-called affordable housing overlay.
It's going to be packed, but do people know it's not air conditioned?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
They had a planning board meeting about it last week, and the ordinance committee this week.
Actually, we didn't watch it for some reason. There's no video. It was just audio. But
well, they're continuing it at the planning board this coming Tuesday, July 9th.
Oh, next week. That's right.
Yeah. So
and I know Nico Bowie won't be there because that's why he asked some questions.
All right.
They knew that.
Right. So anyway, it'll be interesting. I don't know how many meetings of the ordinance committee there'll be talk about this. They have just this one scheduled, but this is definitely not the type of thing that will be done in one meeting.
It will not be decided. I think people think it's going to be voted on tonight.
Oh, that's silly. Right? Yeah, that would be...
Well, actually, if it's voted on as this is going to go through. Yeah, that's...
Everybody talks about the need for amendments and further refinements and this and that.
And that's not...
If city councilors were to sort of ramrod it through in one meeting without... multiple meetings to sort of talk about something as controversial and complicated as this, there would be a lot of very resentful people.
I don't think I've read the last version that was put before the planning board of you.
I have not.
That's what I need to look at.
You know, I mean, they keep moving the goalposts around a little bit on this.
And I believe the planning board did not come out with a firm... I think they came out with, we need more information.
Right. Right? I mean, but all I know is that in the latest version of it, that if the property next to me sold a 50-foot wall, 4 feet from my window could be built.
And 50 feet is how many stories?
About 5 stories without my having any capacity to object at all. Yeah. So am I opposed? Yes.
Yeah. I bet the thing that seemed to be common complaint is why the whole Cambridge? Why an overlay for the whole city? Maybe they can look at different areas that it's more appropriate, and then maybe, can you do zoning like that?
Well,
spot zoning then, right?
Part of the selling point of this was that somehow they sold it as though there are certain parts of town that don't typically get so-called affordable housing projects being built.
Because of the single, right.
I think that there are some of the YIMBY crowd of making much more out of the single family zoning aspect about
than there
this.
There actually is. Yeah.
The thing is that when I was on that housing working group of the Envision Cambridge, I certainly suggested, well, maybe what we should do is start by simply getting rid of exclusive single family zoning. But that was not one of the recommendations that came out of there.
Which is what letter is that?
Residential A is generally single family zoning.
Is that what generally 02138 is?
The thing is there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. Is that first off, most of there's actually relatively little of Cambridge that's zoned for single family housing, and it tends to be concentrated in some of those fancy historic.
And they're huge, 7,000 square feet.
Yeah, they tend to sort of the big ones here. And I mean, I know there are some people who sort of say, oh, wow, there's a big mansion-like property here. We need to take that down and put up a housing project.
But that's never going to happen. Those places go for $10 million, even if it's as of right. They still have to come up with the price.
And many people smarter than me have pointed that out, is that you can pitch this as though somehow miraculously type of housing is going to appear in those particular zones. But that's not how it's going to happen.
And also, you know, in defense of, I think, you know, the people who do build this kind of housing, they know that. There's no way they're going
to what they want to do is they just want to have a free hand to do things, in all the other places, like particularly what Dennis Carlone referred to as the soft spots, you know, the places that are kind of maybe not in the, you know, in the, you know, it's like we used to sort of say the lesser neighborhoods of Cambridge.
There's no lesser neighborhoods.
But there are no lesser
anymore.
Neighborhoods of Cambridge
it's
anymore.
It's all totally expensive.
Right, right. You know, so soft spots could be places where it's a mix of residential and commercial, right? So along some of the major corridors would be places like that. But many of those sites do not have particularly deep lots, so there's still you're limited what you can do.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate. There's a lot of infill development, and in my understanding, infill is that you buy a property and you infill the back of it and build like 2 townhouses, and they go for $1 million something each.
Yep.
That's been going on.
Yeah, actually.
And how is that? Why don't people complain about, or maybe they do?
Well, actually,
Riverside did have a
Complaining about that's that right. in Riverside, and they that's tried right. to do a real downzoning of Riverside.
So that's called a downzoning.
Which, yeah, right. well, to lower the density because to prevent the, that, right. that particular brand of infill.
And it didn't fly.
Well, the thing about that one is yeah. that we were, in that case, we're not talking about magnificently large lots. We're talking about lots that were just a little larger, and then people were trying to smoosh as much stuff as they could.
But for instance, on the same size lot, what if there was a single or two family? Why not build? Would it not be affordable? I guess it wouldn't be to build four units out of it instead of two. I guess they're not going to look at something like that.
I mean,
that.
It depends on the lot. I mean, yeah. the thing is, there are a lot of places where there's not a problem at all. But the thing is that if you're putting a house behind another one and then it's backing up right onto the house
well,
that backs
that's
onto
what they,
the other
you
street.
You walk along J Street and Howard
well, you know,
Street and all
River
that. You know?
Riverside is a very dense packed neighborhood yeah. to begin with. Everything yeah. is sort of chock-a-block. So,
yeah, there's not a lot of houses are almost right to the sidewalk.
Yeah, my.
So is yours, actually.
Yeah, well, because I'm in a commercial zone.
Oh, well,
right?
that's what
so
actually
you can build right
River
up.
Street is, too.
Yeah, so except for my house, which is set back a few feet from the front,
that's true.
All the commercial properties actually can build right up to the lot line.
I see what you're saying.
Actually, they can go up to the front lot line as well as the side lot line, which is part of the reason why I have some concerns about this, because literally, since my kitchen window is like 3 feet yeah. away from the other lot line, if somebody went up with a wall, I could pretty much.
But isn't there a house being sold right now that right next to you? Isn't that something going on that
there
has
is
nothing
a,
to do with this? It might be tall.
There is a, no, it won't. Oh. It will not be tall.
All right. So then, what other house would there be?
The commercial properties.
Oh. Okay.
The commercial properties. So those would be the soft targets, and those are the ones I think that would really get targeted.
But I would
by
think they would be the most
things.
Expensive.
Not necessarily. The thing is that right now, you can, if you had a property where you could build up for, you know, and put lab stuff or whatever in there, yeah, you could
They're
get
They're not going to do that.
No, they can't do that. But the thing is that, you know, density restrictions, height restrictions vary from zone to zone.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some places where, in fact, those types of uses just aren't going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, if you look around along Prospect Street, for example,
yeah.
and parts of Broadway, parts of Cambridge Street,
yeah.
there are places where there's some, like, single-story commercial properties that are actually technically more or less close to what zoning allows.
Yeah. I've seen single-family.
Even though they are unquestionably small.
True.
And the thing is, so then, you know, if you can't get a lot out of some of these, like on Prospect Street, it's a bit of a challenge to actually rent those, and finding a going concern.
Right.
So the thing is that if Justice Start or Homeowners Rehab comes swooping in there and they say, well, we're allowed to do a lot more than anybody else, people go, fine, you got it. It's done.
I know how you feel, and you own property, so obviously you have more skin in the game here, but I also, having really looked at a lot of what this issue is personally, and also I just feel like they have done a lot for homeowners rehab.
I am still reminded of what Jan Devereaux very wisely said at a recent council meeting. It says
she says,
I don't want to see this discussion of this overlay turn into a referendum on affordable housing, because this is simply one proposal.
There
are many other proposals.
Well, most people are saying, well, look, we have inclusionary zoning. That should be enough.
I am of the opinion that that's actually been a pretty good policy.
Yeah, but I don't think it really benefits a lot of people and has this stigma to it where, I don't know if it has a stigma to it, but it could be a very fancy building and then you have 10 units that are affordable. I think those people know who they are.
Right.
They shouldn't, but...
Right, so and if you're in another building down the street...
Yeah, but if it's...
They know who you are, too.
Well, this came up at the planning board. It's not just... Would it be just for low-income, or is there going to be a moderate income?
It depends on where the money's coming from to build it. One of the great things, actually, about inclusionary zoning is that the city has flexibility about it.
Well, it doesn't. It does not help moderate-income people in some of that inclusionary zoning. It depends. You have to have a certain amount of money that you can only
The type of housing that's paid for out of federal grants can't be used for middle, moderate, or anybody like that. It can only be used for low-income. The only mechanism we really have for dealing with something in the whatever you want to call the middle range here, really is the inclusionary units. Now people can argue and you can have a perfectly reasonable argument about, you know, how shall they be parsed out? I mean, if they are
back in the day, because I've been like Auburn Court and even 808, those are mixed income. So I guess we're not able to build mixed income anymore because those do include market. moderate and low income.
Right, which is exactly how you should be building
and
things.
But for some reason, that's why this is not being... I guess those aren't possible anymore. I don't know.
The thing is what happened with the...
You know what? There wasn't really much inclusionary... There wasn't any inclusionary zoning then.
Right, but this was part of a deal and a memorandum of understanding. It was signed back when they did the rezoning of the old Simplex area in Cambridgeport. So when University Park...
So before Auburn Court.
Auburn Court came in... Court came in as part of the University Park redevelopment.
Is it 80s or 90s?
It would have been built in the, I think, late 80s, early 90s, is when some of those ones are being built.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was considered to be quite a win.
It's gotten awards, actually, nationally, because, we can talk about it later, but it really is quite nicely done, low scale, mixed income. It's one of the few...
it's low scale height wise, but
there are some 4-story buildings, 5-story.
Right, but nowadays people would say that's not high story. Yeah. We need 19
you
stories.
You couldn't build that now because they also have 107 parking spaces.
Right, so that wouldn't happen today.
Exactly,
it's true, but that's an example where you have a lot of kind of attached buildings, so you actually get a lot of units into the space.
It's 146 units.
Right, even without really significant height.
Yeah, but it doesn't comp as many blocks. It goes from Mass Ave down to Pilgrim
but
Street.
But I was there the night they inked the deal. And
really?
Yeah, and when they negotiated for what I believe it was 450 units total, if I remember correctly.
Is that not counting Kennedy Biscuit?
It includes Kennedy Biscuit. So the thing is that there were some of these ones happened first, some have happened a little bit later.
Kennedy Biscuit has no affordable units that I know. Well, they may have included, I don't know, it's a whole different model there.
Right, but that was what was being sold at the time. Things have changed in the 20 years since, 25 years.
I don't think HRI...
I don't remember
who
the builder was.
They own Auburn Court.
Right.
And it's managed by the residential.
Right, but the point is that the University Park, which is really MIT property with...
Right, because you're surrounded by MIT buildings. And
Forest City, which was a developer from Cleveland, Ohio...
Uh-huh.
They were, they basically negotiated to get the zoning package that enabled them to build the office park that they did. In fact, they wouldn't even build an office park like that today.
That's right.
Either.
Yeah, these are all desolate. That whole area, if I remember, when I moved here.
I mean, it's basically built out to whatever what was considered the current thinking in the early 90s or late 80s.
Right.
You know?
And what do you think of it now? It's not bad.
Honestly,
it's
I think it would be better if it was developed as a mixed-use whole project.
All of it?
Yeah, so for example, when you're going down Sydney Street, there are frontages there that are just entryways to offices, whatever, that there ought to be some retail. But that was not required.
Well, there's also a lot of condominiums along Sydney.
Well, when you go further down,
I'm thinking of Brooklyn Street. You're thinking of Sydney. Sydney's different.
Sydney. So the thing is, Sydney should have actually been like double-loaded retail all the way down.
Really?
And it should have felt like a real city street and with a housing and offices behind it, you know, all integrated into it as a whole.
But did neighbors not want retail there?
No, I think it's really that at the time, this
model
was,
wasn't around.
This, you were basically building an office park. It's not that different than a suburban office park.
But now you have those chrome apartments, which are at the end of Sydney, I believe.
This was a later change to the zoning. What happened was they actually added a significant chunk of housing much later on because...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think when you got down beyond year 2000, I forget exactly when a lot of that was coming online, but there was a change in thinking about it and also changing the economics. So there was money to be made in building the housing.
And I think there's very limited parking.
And then part of that, once you got past 2000, is vehicle trip reduction ordinance had pretty much taken root.
Right.
And you weren't encouraging auto-centric housing or any kind of auto-centric anything,
some
really.
I think there are parking spaces. It's a big
Well, you need
building.
Some, you know, but the thing is
I think it's
all
rental, though.
Yeah, well, there was money.
Now, does rental also mean you have to have inclusionary units? Yes, right?
Well, but the thing is at the time, it would depend on when the zoning was passed to do that. And I believe that zoning happened...
Oh, that's a pretty new building.
That happened post-inclusionary zoning.
Yeah.
So back then it was the 15% nominal, so it would probably be about 11.6%.
When was the 20%? I thought that's been around for
20% has been around for about 3 years, tops.
Oh, yeah, but Chrome is only a couple years old.
When was it permitted?
Okay.
When was it permitted?
That's interesting.
That's the thing.
But it's still got
The thing is just, even how Galleria Mall looks down at, Cambridge Side Galleria.
Change, right?
Cambridge Site Galleria, well, I think it should change, and
it's
I think it will change.
It's going to change like the Arsenal one, where right. it's retail
but,
and
but the thing is that the zoning package that they propose, it mm-hmm. did not seem to be going over super well, so mm-hmm. I think they're going to come back with a different proposal.
Oh, okay.
I think eventually something will change because
yeah.
I think it's nobody...
Empty stores there.
Yeah, nobody... Nobody really believes in having, you know, if you look at malls, suburban
yeah.
malls and everywhere
yeah.
else, they're integrating them in with housing and doing these things.
Well, because Amazon's taken over.
Right. Well, that's a part of it for
yeah.
sure. So I think that what would happen down at the Cambridge Side Galleria ultimately would probably kind of incorporate
yeah.
some housing and some additional office,
yeah.
a little more height, you know, but
yeah.
they got this is still subject to a lot of
yeah.
negotiation
I,
down
I mean,
the
I
road.
Guess- Like I said, the Arsenal Market, we're Home Depot, but the other side, that's all they
Watertown
like
is completely
Watertown.
Revolutionary change
and
they've
there. Also building other things there. Yeah.
That's exactly
yeah.
right. You know, and you know, I'm actually pretty impressed about that, you
really?
Know, because, well, we need regional housing growth,
yeah.
you know. The notion that Cambridge can somehow solve all the housing
though, they
issues.
They don't have subways there. They
but
have
they
buses.
Do have they do have a very frequent bus service.
And
that
a good bus service?
It's 70 bus,
yeah.
actually. I used to take it out to Brandeis. So
okay.
I think it works pretty well.
On
Could it work better? Sure.
Right on River Street.
Yeah, ultimately, I think in an ideal world, if ever the MBTA could kind of get its act together, we would have a world where buses were more frequent,
Although
more
the buses
utilized.
Buses are subject to traffic unless they get special lanes, which
right.
we're trying to do.
Yeah. So if they can make that work, then.
Good point.
Then
yeah, you
got to
have more
fine.
People in a vehicle.
Yeah, the notion that somehow you're going to build trains or you should only build around mm-hmm. train stations is a little
silly. Well, I think
silly.
West Station, though, is a time has come.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That would connect.
That's
so
fine.
Many spots.
I mean, if you can actually do honest transit-oriented
yeah.
development around
yeah.
existing
yeah.
transit, actual rail,
yep.
where you can move a lot of people real quick,
yep.
That's ideal. But the thing is that it's also limited. You need to
right.
also have some other sites where
right.
there are bus lines that actually service
right.
them.
That's
you know,
true.
And that ought to be part of the package.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's definitely what's happening in Watertown.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they allow more parking than Cambridge would be comfortable with
oh.
those developments, though.
Oh. Absolutely.
But, you know,
well,
it,
first of all, they had that huge parking lot where the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, times are changing, that's for sure. You know?
They are, Robert.
Yeah.
So we kind of covered a little bit, but not much.
Yeah. So
well, it was important because we're going to...
Yeah.
I know you don't. I'm going to walk over there and probably have to go upstairs.
Well, one of the problems I have with the way this overlay
yeah.
thing, not to obsess on it, is
yeah.
that... is that so a proposal was originally floated, which was a non-starter. So they modified things,
oh, yeah.
they switched it from quadrupling FAR to form-based zoning. Okay,
oh,
and then other people
that.
Could question things, say, oh,
yeah.
well, let's just change this, and we'll change
yeah.
that, and
yeah.
we'll change this. And that, you know, the problem is there are some things that are lacking in it, which, you know, you can tweak and tweak and tweak, but it comes a point where the tweaking doesn't solve the problems.
Yeah.
I don't, for example, in place where I am, where... you know, where you're mixed residential commercial, the maximal negative impacts could be felt. And there's not a big lobby of people from 02138 advocating for those of us who live on places like Broadway and Cambridge
mm-hmm.
Street. We're mm-hmm. like forgotten in this whole discussion, you know? So, you know,
well, I don't know.
People are
Alana
just taking care of number
you.
One.
Alana lives near you.
She'll be unaffected. So
Why?
The thing is, she lives
she's
on
right
Maple, and
yeah,
she's
but her
off,
house is right
off
of Broadway.
There's no commercial on Broadway after Lee Street. It's she's thoroughly unaffected.
I understand, but she a house
thoroughly,
could be bought there.
It wouldn't matter. It would, yeah. I mean, sure, you could do some things like that, but the thing is that's still not going to be highest and best use, I think, under any of these. Actually, one of the most offensive modifications that was proposed, but didn't seem to go anywhere, was when. Mr. Zondervan suggested that this should only happen along the major corridors. And I said,
oh,
okay,
yeah.
isn't that convenient? Oh, yeah, and by the way, he left out his street in this.
Is
he's
a major
he's
corridor?
On Cardinal Medeiros, which I would
well,
I would categorize that as a
it's
major
a feeder,
connector.
But I don't know if it's a
right,
feeder.
Right, so he
major.
Says, oh, so let's just make sure we're going to do all of the impacts of this should be put basically just on Broadway, Cambridge Street, whatever. So this way, all the activists who are living on all these other streets
mm-hmm.
in West Cambridge, they go, okay, fine, I can go home now, no problem
yeah.
for me.
Yeah,
and then they'll
Mass
dump it on
all
me.
The way over into 02138.
Yeah, so the thing is, then you would talk about doing some development along North Mass Ave, for example,
yeah.
Which is really North Cambridge 02140.
There's been some hotels built along there.
Right, and actually, True, but the thing is that North Mass Ave actually is not overdeveloped by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Well, weren't neighbors really upset about the St. John's, or that property that's on the corner?
They lost their mind over that, and I still don't understand
that. Isn't that 100% affordable?
I remember when Trolley Square was being, the old car barns were being redeveloped, people went manic about that as well.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I don't see anything offensive about what's been built up there.
Yeah.
I definitely think that you could go Mass Ave almost all the way out to the Arlington line and have, you know, kind of a good mix of housing.
Well, there has been a lot of
stuff
built down there, if you look.
Yeah, I mean,
and a lot of this inclusionary zoning there. There's five-story buildings
right.
being built.
Yeah, so the thing is, you know, you don't have to put in skyscrapers or whatever, but the thing is along that corridor, there's definitely some room to move there.
I don't know. You know? I think a lot of stuff has been done down there. I go down there a lot, and I think people are saying it more in the middle and hasn't been done because that's more, it's not the same zoning there. I don't know.
Yeah. Right. Whatever. So anyway, I think there are some growth that the city could use. I'm not a particular fan of, saying all the so-called affordable must be in a single. I actually like the idea of economically integrated housing, and which is one of my other objections to this 100% affordable housing. I think, you know, inclusionary is 20% affordable housing.
You know, this whole thing about affordable in Cambridge, if you listen to the planning board, the average AMI, 80%, is almost $60,000, okay?
Right.
And a family of two, it's like 88 or 100.
Right, but
we're not talking about really low, low income. So affordable means it shouldn't be more than 30% of your salary.
These are rules that are established by the housing department
it's
within the community
department.
To develop.
I know that.
No. The federal government may set rules about what and basically determine what is considered area median income and all of these things here. But in fact, you know, how to parse out the inclusionary units is something that's completely under the city's discretion.
Okay, because I'm talking about two different.
Federal government
rules
has
here.
No say in it.
Right.
Zero.
So inclusionary zoning. Is more, you're right. It's the other.
So
that
if they,
are, other,
so if
right.
Chris Cotter and company have decided that in fact we want to set aside 20% of those units to go to this economic strata and 30% to go to this, that's their decision.
You're right about that.
And
that's
those
that
decisions
brought up,
can be
they
changed.
They kind of waffled about that we're not going to include the moderate, or it was make leads for low
right.
Income.
So you have these kingmakers sitting within the economic development who are basically acting like landlords, deciding who gets to live where.
And that's the biggest argument around here.
Right,
is
and
that
this
you're
is,
not attending to the middle income, moderate income people that are making it, you know?
Right. So, you
so
know,
that's
so, and
right,
I'm
right
not particularly that. Comfortable with a few bureaucrats at 344 Broadway deciding who gets to
but
the
wasn't
work.
There just a hearing about the eligibility requirements for inclusionary? Wasn't that discussed?
Well, maybe because a few people, including some city councils, are realizing that maybe the way
it's
they're
not,
doing it is not right.
Yeah. Okay. I've got to do some more.
But you know, we often just take it on faith that somehow these people are just acting, you know,
no,
with,
they definitely
with
have
Solomonic wisdom,
than,
and I don't think they are.
And the private, you're right. You're right about that.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of misgivings about that whole division, quite honestly.
Yeah, because Cambridge Housing Authority is a whole different animal, and they do have to go by federal guidelines, right?
That's right, because it's all depends
that's
on where the money was. I mean,
that's
there are
right.
strings attached, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly, many, many.
And that, but that was
yeah.
the beauty about inclusionary zoning. There were no strings
right.
attached.
But
so
then who gets to live there, right?
Well,
and
so the thing
criteria?
Is because there were these other housing complexes around the city that were available to people who were at the lower income strata, there was nothing that they could do with those properties for people who were more in the middle income strata or moderate or whatever you want to call it. But the thing is that, you know, when inclusionary zoning came in, then you could actually accommodate some of those housing needs in this way here. And that was, by all accounts, the part that the missing piece is how to deal with people who are more in the middle income.
So you're
strata.
Saying inclusionary does address the middle?
It does. It's the only thing that does, other than existing market rate housing, which still to some degree provides middle income people with opportunities.
All right, we can talk about this later. From my understanding,
I mean, Patrick
it's very
Barrett,
limited what you can have in the bank and all. It's not like they figure it out.
For the ones that are controlled, but the point is that as Patrick Barrett has pointed out, market housing has historically and continues to be really exactly what the pool of housing is. For typically the people in the middle income. Now, maybe you have to do...
Not anymore.
Well, it's not so easy
you're
in Cambridge,
you're paying like
50%
of your income is going towards your rent.
That's not true if you're looking for housing in Roslindale or
I'm
Hyde
talking
Park,
about Cambridge.
Whatever. So, because Cambridge Park
that's
is
right.
Cambridge is pretty
is
challenging.
Cambridge is really expensive.
Right. You know, but you know, the thing is not everybody has a sort of a birthright, you know, to it.
Okay, either. I hear that.
You know,
I know, but if you've lived here for 30 years, you may want to stay here.
I absolutely agree, and to me, I would give absolute preference to people who've been here a long time.
And I think they do want.
And
that
I would
too.
Give people, you know, when you pass a certain age, and so you don't have as much opportunity to make other certain choices that other people can make, then I absolutely would put people in those situations way up to the top of the list. Yeah. You know, but that's not how the housing division and community development seems to operate. You know,
well,
they
you can be over 50 and have not more than $125,000 to qualify for a home resale or whatever, which is not a lot of money, but you can. But if you have anything above that, which some people do, it could be 50. Forget it. There's nothing for you.
Right.
So I don't know.
Right.
It's tough. It's tough to live here.
It is tough to live here, too.
And not everybody can live here, you're right.
Yeah,
so.
And as many a person has pointed out, is that if I wanted to live in Brattle Street, I never would have that opportunity either.
Yeah.
The thing is economics is economics. And the thing is you're not necessarily entitled to every possible choice that you might dream of.
No.
You know, the thing is you do have to make actual decisions based on actual economics.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And by the way, one of the great vanishing breeds in Cambridge, people who are middle income, was that you would buy a multifamily home, which is not everybody was willing to do.
Forget that now.
And you would do that, and now those have all become condos.
Or condos.
So
the house itself is very expensive.
Right. So those opportunities have vanished. Right. But the thing is then when there were lots and lots of two families and three families, then that the fact that there were many of them helped stabilize that market.
People bought those houses, Robert.
A lot of people bought them. It's true. It's true. You know, but, you know, anyway. So,
it's a heated subject.
All right. So anyway, so we'll wrap up this half hour right now, but we're going to talk about candidates because candidates have started picking up papers.
And Cambridge Archives, because both of them.
Yes.
Okay.
So we'll pick up on that topic.
And Car Talk.
And Car Talk in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.